Hi, we're the Bootlickers, and you're listening to
Queer Music Heritage
on KPFT in Houston.
There's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. It's a gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. I plan to cover a lot of territory in terms of years and types of music. Mostly, I just don't think the gay and lesbian music of the past should be forgotten. And I try to give a little information about the music and artists as I go. I also slip in songs from the present as well. I introduce this segment with the song Gay Spirit by Charlie Murphy from the 1979 album Walls to Roses. It's one of my favorite gay anthems, and here's just a little more of it.
It's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. A gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to tonight's show. I'm very pleased to be bringing you a very special interview. The interview is with Alex Dobkin. Since 1973, Alex has been the most visible lesbian feminist in the women's music community. She's even been called head lesbian, and this stems not only from her music, which includes some classics, but also from her speaking and writing, because over the last almost 30 years, she's been a continuing force performing, doing workshops, and contributing articles to our major publications. I mentioned that this started in 1973, because in that year, she formed her own record label called Women's Waxworks and produced the first album that was entirely produced, engineered, financed, and performed by lesbians, and the first to have international distribution. It was called Lavender Jane Loves Women. That album is still available because it, along with her second album, Living with Lesbians, has been re-released on CD. So those two will give you an instant entree into the world of women's music. She's been working on her memoirs, which should be fascinating. But until they're published, I recommend picking up her songbook, as it gives a very interesting account of her history and the stories of the songs. I reached Alex at her home in Woodstock, New York. Alex, welcome to Queer Music Heritage.
Well, thank you, J.D. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want to start off asking about that first album. Please tell us about Lavender Jane Loves Women.
I had wanted to make a record album all the years I was singing folk music in the Village and the Midwest touring in the folk music circuit in the 60s, the mid-late 60s. I hadn't for many reasons. I just wasn't slick enough or something. I never could get an album. And so when I started writing women's music for women in particular, lesbians in particular, and about myself and my life as a feminist and as a lesbian, I wrote these songs, and a lot of women wanted to hear them. And so it was an idea whose time had come, really. I feel like Lavender Jane Loves Women was just a product of the time, just like the women's liberation movement, the second wave of women's liberation was a product of the times, and it was all connected. So there was a lot of demand for it, a lot of excitement. Women were coming out by the droves. Whole dormitories were coming out in colleges. This was in the early 70s, so I had these songs, and women loved them and wanted to hear them on record. So we made one. So I met Kay Gardner, and we worked out some arrangements, and we got this bass player who was really a conga player, but we kind of intimidated her, bullied her learning the bass because we needed one for the group. So that's how Lavender Jane came into being. And I raised about $3,500 on a cruise of a group called Lesbian Life Space, about 500 lesbians cruising up the Hudson listening to the New Haven Women's Liberation Rock Band, who had put out an album with the Chicago Women's Liberation Rock Band, I think the year before. This is 1972 we're talking about, after I came out. And so I raised the money, and Kay and I found Marilyn Reese through WBAI FM in New York City. Connections there led us to Marilyn, who was a lesbian and an engineer, but she worked as an engineer for the spoken word in a spoken word studio. Nevertheless, she had the keys. It had four tracks, and she had the keys to the studio, and the rest is history. And we got our backers into a group called Women's Music Network, and they provided, you know, the backing for the first cover, the first 1,000 that we pressed. We printed a cover and pasted it on with rubber cement, 1,000 albums, and had an insert printed with the information that would normally go on the liner notes. And so the first 1,000 albums launched Lavender Jane.
What other women's music was available before you released your album?
There was Virgo Rising, which was, and is, I guess, a feminist record album, engineered by Joan Lowe, produced in Arizona, I believe, in Phoenix, and it was released, I think, in 72 or 3, early 73, and there, I'm not exactly sure of the year, but that was not a lesbian album, it was very heterosexual, but very strong feminist music. Then there was, of course, Maxine Feldman's 45 single record, which was produced by Robin Tyler of Angry Athis, and that was the first lesbian record. Now, that was a 45. That was produced, I think, in 71, possibly, or 72. And then the next lesbian record was, that I know of, was A Few Loving Women, which was a talent show produced by Lesbian Feminist Liberation, I think, LFL, which is a lesbian group in New York. I think that's who produced these talent shows. And so they recorded, they taped one and made a record of it. And they, I think, released about 1,000 albums. And they actually made it impossible for me to claim that Lavender Jane Loves Women was the very first lesbian album, because it wasn't. It was the second. I can say it was the first women-only produced, because they had male engineers. Or male, you know, they mixed it. Men mixed the album. So I had women working all the way down the line. I could say it was the first woman-only internationally distributed album. They only, I think, like I say, pressed about 1,000 copies.
Where did the name Lavender Jane come from?
Oh, that was a combination of Janes. I had just read Jane Albert's article, Mother Courage, I think it was called, in which she exposed the left men. The leftist men, and I come from a communist background, and I was a member of the party for 6 years in the 50s, when you could go to jail for it. And actually, the party really gave me a wonderful education, and I first heard the terms male chauvinism at a party meeting, and but at any rate, I had left the party, and I was quite disillusioned with Marxism, especially as it completely ignored feminism or women. So I loved that she exposed the men and the left who just used women, you know, for sex and to make coffee and stuff like that. So I was very impressed with that. So that was named partly after Jane Albert, and the other Jane is Jane Powell, who I loved as a girl. She was a major MGM musical star.
Oh, the
and
actress.
I loved her singing, and I just saw all of her movies many times, and you know, had her picture up on my wall and just was totally in love with her.
I've heard you referred to as head lesbian.
Yeah.
What do you think about being the role model?
Oh, I love that. That's great. Actually, the way I got that title was from Therese Adele. Are you familiar with Therese?
Very much so, yes.
Well, she recorded A Woman's Love. Did you hear her version of it?
I love her version.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, she started singing it way back in the 70s, and she told me that when she first heard it, she was so impressed. And she used to say this when she sang it. She said, when I first heard this, I couldn't believe that anybody would actually write this. And, wow, Alice Dodson, she must be the head lesbian. So that's how she would introduce it when she sang it.
I need to make time for this quick break.
Something about the women. There's something about the women. Something about the women in my life.
Hi, this is Holly Neer, and you are listening to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT Houston.
Also, be sure to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night at midnight on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And this is a good time to mention it. Since there are so many obscurities heard on this show, I thought those of you on the internet would like to be able to see photos of the artists and recordings and view the playlist. You can do that at www.queermusicheritage.com. Of which of your songs are you the most proud?
Well, I'm proud of different ones for different reasons. I guess The Woman in Your Life is probably my signature tune. I suppose I've gotten the most response to that, and it wears the best, I think, of all of them. I don't remember struggling with it, and I don't remember having a hard time writing it, but everything about the song has felt very wonderful and positive to me. So it's hard to talk about it, but that would have to be my number one.
Let's hear The Woman in Your Life is You.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. The woman in your life knows simply what is true. She knows a simple way to touch, to make you whole now. The woman in your life, she can touch so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. And who knows more about your story, about your struggles in the world? Who cares more to bless your weary shoulders than the woman in your life as she's trying to come through? A woman's voice with messages, a woman's feelings. Oh, the woman in your life, she can feel so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. And who is sure to give you courage? And who will surely make you strong? Who will bear all the joy that is coming to you? If not the woman in your life, but she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
I've got a few songs I would like to get comments on. Please tell us about A Woman's Love.
That was just describing my feelings. I used to introduce it by saying, this is a song about Liza. And she would say, no, that's a song about you. And of course, she's right, because it was about me and my feelings and my reactions and all about me, which is my favorite topic with songwriting.
Here is A Woman's Love.
She's a woman, I didn't think I loved her. So unexpected, we just stood and smiled. And I felt so fine, and it was so right inside. But how could I know I loved her? cannot be turned aside, but softly and warmly it held me, because she's a woman, because she's a woman, she doesn't try to change me, she knows and understands a woman's way. So free to be what she sees in me. It's so easy to be her lover, because she's a woman. I realize a woman's place is my home, and I know we've always been in love, and so it will be for Liza and me. Because I'm a woman, a way was laid out for me. I always thought I need a man to love, and while the it's because she's a woman, and she feels so much the sweet touch of a woman's love.
One of your theme songs is Amazon ABC. Can you tell us about that?
That was based on the Alphabet song. The Alphabet song was a hit in 1949. I was 9 years old. Perry Como had the hit, but the Fontaine Sisters had the great hit that I loved. And I loved it so much that I went out and bought the sheet music and thought it was the cleverest thing I'd ever heard, 9 years old. So there it was, sitting in my memory. And when I came out, there it was, waiting for me to do a folk process on it, which I did, and had a great time doing it. It was really, really fun song to write. And I've been singing it, closing my shows with it, almost all my shows. That's the last tune, and that's been going on since 1974, I think, when I wrote it.
One, two, three. Hey, you're an Amazon, becoming brave and strong, clearly and consciously you see. You're so dykey, how you excite me, how fortunate a female faculty. Oh, gee, I guess it's good for me, H, how heavenly, I never knew how butchy I could be. J for sweet justice, K for sweet kisses, L-E-S-B-I-A-N for letting go of envy, and oppression is no longer over me. Political power to the personal key, you for the queer you feared you are. Remember, you gotta respect your essential sensibilities. Between us is the tie, uterine empathy. V is for vagina, the virgin. You can double your experience until you get through to exactly where you want to exist. One, let them drive you crazy. You are. Remember, you gotta respect your essential sexuality. Between us.
us is the tie. Uterine empathy, D is your vagina. The virgin, you can double your universe until you get through to exactly where you want to exist. Why not? Why stop? But it's not easy.
Please tell us about the song, View from Gay Head.
I was in Gay Head, which is in Martha's Vineyard, and I was there during a couple of weeks of the summer of 1973, and that inspired the name, View from Gay Head. The tune is the harmony of a Balkan song that I learned from Ethel Rame in her class. I was taking Balkan singing lessons in Ethel Rame's class, and I just kind of collected various instances of why it was so great to come out and be a lesbian, and different memories of experiences that related to that in my life. We just put them all together.
I heard Cheryl and Mary say there are two kinds of people in the world today. One or the other, a person must be. The men are them, the women are we. They agree it's a pleasure to be a lesbian. Lesbian, lesbian romance land. Lesbian, lesbian, any woman can be a lesbian.
And Liza wishes the library had men and women play separately. Ah, but theirs is the kingdom. She knows who she'll find in the history of mankind. But then she's inclined to be ahead of her time, and she's a lesbian.
To pacify the people, for they won't defend a woman who's indifferent to men. No, she's my friend, she's a lesbian. And women's anger, Louise explains, a million second places in the master's games. Oh, it's real as a mountain, it's strong as the sea. Besides, an angry woman is a beauty. She's a chosen to be like me, and she's a lesbian.
Lesbian, lesbian, romance flame.
Sexes do battle, they batter about. The men's are the sexes I will live without. I'll return to the bosom where my journey ends, where there's no penis between us friends. Oh no!
Can you tell us about the song, Lesbian Power Authority?
That originated when the power company, the State Power Authority, wanted to put high intensity lines out in the country where we live. They wanted to string them up, and there was a lot of protest against them. And in fact, I met some of my dear friends at a booth that we set up at a 4-H fair and gave out propaganda against this power line. And it went through anyway, but that was really where the phrase came into my mind. And I'm really feeling my oats as a lesbian. And I just translated it to the Lesbian Power Authority. And again, wrote about my life and how the Lesbian Power Authority, how the empowerment of being a lesbian affected me. And you know, when I best about it.
To women, yes, they are lesbian trans.
How's Lesbian Power Authority? People and movements don't always see eye to eye, which was the case with your song, My Lesbian Wars. Can you tell us about that?
My Lesbian Wars was inspired by the lesbian wars that Dyke Magazine faced when it was... Have you seen Dyke Magazine?
I don't think so.
Are you aware of it? It was published in the mid-70s, 74, 75, maybe into 76. It was a quarterly, published by my girlfriend, Liza, at the time, and her best friend for many years, Penny House. They put this really interesting, very snappy magazine together and wrote some articles and reviews that got some lesbians angry, and especially in Californian Oakland, when a bookstore practically organized a hate mail campaign, and they got all these anonymous letters just blasting them, you know, very fierce and ferocious. We can be the hardest on each other. We act out our horizontal hostility upon, and that's what was happening then. So I was kind of taken aback. We were kind of devastated by the fury we had unleashed, or not we, excuse me, my lover. And so that inspired that song.
I write about lesbians, the ties that bind the closest friends, the joys, the thrills, they're still all true. You know I'd never lie to you, but you know women come and women go. Some I don't like, most I don't know. Few are friends and few agree in the lesbian community. I first came out with great relief. I thought we'd all be friends. But sisterhood and the lesbians, when we turned away from men, how could we know the damage they had done? Yes, life could be a paradise, but men have made it otherwise. So I cut my hair, my looks I changed, I felt scared at the start. And I learned to smile much less for men and to keep my manner sharp. Whoa, but it's so much harder to defend myself from hostile lesbians. Abuse, suspicion, they feel free to treat me like their enemy. But we don't have to be friends to work it out together, lesbians. If we try, well, we can work it out together, lesbians. I choose my friends with care. I am elite as I can be. I don't like filth or ugliness. Is that bourgeois of me? And I'm not ashamed to be a pushy Jewish girl. Well, I like it fine. I like to use the power I have earned, and yes, I'm glad it's mine. And I love to meet a lesbian with fresh ideas in mind, who isn't spouting thoughtless words that I've heard a thousand times. And then I don't mind if we disagree, 'cause we're building our community with beauty, strength, and consciousness. With loving lesbians, be blessed. But we don't have to be friends to work it out together, lesbians. If we try, well, we can work it out together. I believe if we try, if we really try, well, we can work it out. We can work it out.
Your song Crushes talks about the early feelings of lesbians. Can you elaborate?
I can give my rap that I used to introduce the song in concerts. I wrote this song to summarize all the different crushes on girls and women that I had up until the time I came out, and then I figured I could write one for each and kind of slow down the pace, but I had to kind of get them all into this song. And I wrote it, and I sang it to a friend of mine who was straight at the time, and she says, well, I believe you, Alex, but it just never happened to me. I just never had those feelings about women or teachers or anything before. I said, fine. And she said, well, you know, I know you're sincere about it, but I just never felt that way. I said, fine. And she said, you know, I know many, many women have said that today. I just can't remember ever having... I said, fine. And then she came out. And then she remembered all these crushes she had had. But before she came out, her memory was gone. So it's a wonderful restorative act.
I'll tell you of my secret loves, my girlhood memories. And maybe you'll recall a few as beautiful as these. Whoa, 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 a young girl I was enchanted by. And love from a teenage summer, I can feel that thrill. How my heart stood still with every letter I received from her. And I never thought she'd write me at all. Whoa, but she did, 8 pages. And the women I love, truly, the women I love to see. The women I love, love me. The woman I love to be, I love to be. So at home, in the bosom of nature, home, sweet home. I remember my 9th grade teacher in geometry. How I wished my love would reach her. I'd bear squared pi r's endlessly, but she was living with my phys ed teacher, and I never thought I'd stand a chance. Then I was my high school English teacher's pet. What wouldn't I do to impress her? Around her house I'd ride to let my starry eyes caress her. Oh, but she never came out to see. Oh, she never came out. But the women I love, truly, the women I love to see. The women I love, love me. The woman I love to be, I love to be. So at home, in the bosom of nature, home, sweet home. I remember how the girls adored our counselor. What's more to our delight, we'd whisper secret fantasies beneath the covers nightly. Oh, you know the counselors were never supposed to hear. Whoa, now for the moral, as I grow older, now I know how my own true loves were hidden. Oh, yes, I romanced those just like I was supposed to, for the women were forbidden when I was just a girl. Oh, but it's all changed now, and the women I love, truly, the women I love to see. The women I love, love me. The woman I love to be, yes, the women.
I have the CD by Romanowski and Phillips, Be Political, Not Polite, and you and Holly
and Frank,
sing backups on a song on that. How did that happen?
We were all in the same place at the same time, and that was a very fortunate moment. Then they were recording the album, and they're friends of ours, and so it just worked out. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but it was a very happy coincidence. It was a lot of fun to do.
I really respect Ron and Paul's work, and they don't get enough credit for it.
Yes, you're so right. They had a hard road to hoe, and they're not actually playing together anymore. You must know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were very good, very witty, very with it, and they had a hard time in the gay community, as you understand, so much of the gay male community is just not interested in feminism and politics and community building. Now, I don't know how it is now. I hope it's changed, but when they were making the circuit, they had an uphill battle.
I've had more than one artist tell me that they were kind of an inspiration to, that it was possible to be out as a musician.
That's right. That's right. Well, they did wonderful work, and they should get more recognition.
Here are Alex, Holly Near, and Frank singing backups on the song False Hope by Romanowski and Phillips.
Predicting a future of darkness and doom.
There's no denying many have died.
Lives have been lost, tears have been cried.
And there's so much pain and so little relief that it's hard to feel hope in a moment of grief.
But if that's what it takes to help someone live, then we have a lot we can give.
Because there's no such thing as false hope. There's no dream that isn't real. No such thing as false hope. No one can say what the future will reveal. If we believe in our hearts that it's true, surely our hope will pull us through. Don't listen into the TV scare. It only weakens you with despair. They paint a fortress full of doubt by leaving the long-term survivors out. And as a result, how many are gone? Because their hope was denied for too long.
And if that's what it takes to help someone live, then we have a lot we can give.
Because there's no such thing as false hope. There's no dream that isn't real. No such thing as false hope. No one can say what the future will reveal. If we believe in our hearts that it's true, surely our hope will pull us through.
Hope is on the horizon. Help is on the way.
Help's on the way.
Love will pull us through another day.
Hope is the key.
Hope is the key
that unlocks the mind. Lightens the burden or leaves it behind. And if that's what it takes to help someone live, then we have a love we can give.
What gay or lesbian artists do you particularly admire?
Oh, I'm always caught off guard by this question, and that is so, so silly of me. Well, Peggy Seeger was a great influence, and she wasn't a lesbian, but she is now, and I wasn't then either, and I am now. So she's a major one, of course. Billie Holiday, who wasn't really a lesbian, but she loved women. And, let's see, who else? I admire, I admire Katie Lang. She's just such a wonderful singer. I admire Melissa Etheridge. She was a friend of mine way back when, and in fact, she lent me her credit card when I didn't have one, and I like telling that story. And she was just wonderfully warm and friendly, and she's done great work. I admire so many women. Faith Nolan, here's somebody I really admire, Linda Tillery. She just gets better and better and better all the time. And the Cultural Heritage Choir, you must know their work. She's an amazing singer and musician and historian, and she's so knowledgeable and such a wonderful teacher. I guess she's up there on the top of the list.
Do you plan on doing any recording in the future?
Well, J.D., I haven't written a song since 1989 because I am concentrating on my memoirs. I lost interest in songwriting, so it came in the form of prose, and I'm writing this memoir.
How are they coming along?
Well, it's good. I just finished the first draft. It took me 10 years, practically to the month, to get that done. So now is the fun part, the revising.
What is it, like 5,000 pages?
It's like 700 pages, or 888, actually. So it'll be considerably less when I get through with it, I'm sure.
When do you see it being available to the public?
You know, I take things one step at a time. That's all I can handle. But thanks for asking.
Probably every time you speak someplace, someone asks you, when can I get the book?
Yeah, I do readings, too, and then I get a lot more of those questions. And people say, I can't wait for the book, and I say, I can't either. So that's the best I can do for the moment.
I need to interject here an explanation. I belong to an organization based out of New York City called Out Music. It's made up of GLBT musicians and supporters who believe in helping to create opportunities for the artists and in increasing awareness of their work. In June, Out Music is having their second annual awards presentation. The awards celebrate excellence in recording, songwriting, and cultural activism, and we thought it was very appropriate this year to give out the Out Music Heritage Award to honor one of our music pioneers. Alex Dopkin has been chosen to receive that first award, and I asked her about it. How do you feel about being given the first Out Music Heritage Award?
Highly honored and delighted. I think that's great. I just hope people don't put me, you know, squarely in the 70s because I'm performing and I still sing. That's what I have to do and what I love to do. So I'm thrilled to get the award. I just don't want to be pigeonholed back in the 70s.
I think a part of the concept of that award is not only an early but an ongoing influence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am a heritage. I am, you know, a living history. So I accept that, and I love that, actually. And that is my job, and I look at it as my role. And it's a great honor.
And I'll be there in New York on June 9th to see her accept that award. And she's even promised to sing a song or two. For tonight's show, I've got one more song for Alex to tell us about. But I want to slip in a show ID that she helped me with. You've heard the song already, but wait for the punchline.
A one, two, three, four. Hey, you're an Amazon, becoming brave and strong, clearly and consciously you see. B, you're so dykey, how you excite me, how fortunate a female faculty. Oh, G, I guess it's good for me. H, how heavenly, I never knew how butchy I could be. J for sweet justice, K for sweet kisses, L-E-S-B-I-A-N for letting go of envy, and oppression is no longer over me. Political power to the personal.
And Q is for Queer Music Heritage. This is Alex Dobkin, and I hope you tune in to KPFT in Houston.
I thank Alex for that, and I'm sure I'll play it again on a future show. Okay, before we hear the last song, I want to thank Alex Dobkin for the very special interview. It isn't often I get to interview one of the true pioneers of our music culture, and it was a real treat for me. And of course, I thank you all for tuning into the show. You can see photos of Alex and her recordings and see the playlist for tonight's show at www.queermusicheritage.com. And while you're on the net, you can get Alex's music at www.ladyslipper.org. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. And now I asked Alex to tell us about one of her most popular and most humorous songs. Please tell us about Lesbian Code.
That was another fun song to write. This was the result of what I call my lesbian cultural anthropology research. When I don't even remember when or why I started doing this, but I started collecting code words, sounds, phrases, whatever lesbians used in the fake world. When lesbians are out in the fake world and we see a likely-looking woman, there is some form of recognition that passes between us, and so that's what is the lesbian code. And I started coming across so many of them, and then I solicited codes wherever I went in my concerts, and I'd be up there with a pen and pencil, and women would yell things out, and I'd write them down, and sometimes they'd tell me wonderful stories of how they came to use this code, and sometimes it was a code that only a few women knew, and sometimes I'd hear the same one across borders, and I started collecting them in Australia, New Zealand, England, Scotland, Ireland, and I got quite a stack of them and put them into a song. And of course, women keep coming up to me, and sometimes men even, and telling me new codes, and sometimes they're really funny, but if I don't write them down, I don't remember them, but they really disprove the idea that lesbians aren't funny.
Here's Alex Dopkin with Lesbian Code.
She's a BD, baby dyke. She's a PD, possible, probable. She's a DD, yeah, she's a definite dyke. She's a POU, positively one of us. She's got high LP, good potential, suffering from PLT, pre-lesbian tension. It's a terrible thing to watch. She's a wannabe, a D-O-T. Well, if she can't be a dyke of today, she can be a dyke of tomorrow. Then she'll be a D-I-T, a dyke in training, or an F-D-A. Future dyke of America, she'll be a Betty, a friend of Dorothy. She'll be our kind, that's okay. Lead the lesbian code. Is she Lithuanian? I know. Is she Lebanese? Well, she's gifted. She's Labesian, lesbonic, and I happen to know she's a vegetarian. She's a member of the team. She's a member of the lodge of the family. She's a member of the church, of the club, of the committee, and she sings in the choir. Is she a lima bean from Kentucky? Or is she a green new bean? Or is she refried? Is she a canned bean in the closet? Or is she now with a man? Then she's a has-been. No, she's a Frisbean in Fresno. In Lansing, 48912. She lives in Dyke Heights. She's an Arkansas Earth Dyke, Motor City Dyke. It goes to the pagoda with the Chinese. You bet she colors outside the lines in Charlotte. We lead the lesbian code. Is she an Aussie Dyke? Check it out. What do you reckon? She's a likely one, Spotto. Gotta be. Ah, she looks a bit sus. She must be of the faith. I'll put her on lay-by. She's a lesbian from New Zealand. She's compass from Aotearoa, kiwi fruit. You can spot the bus driver, spot the camp girl. She's on the bike. Camp is a row of tents. She's a Hauser mother. Over in Dublin, she's a whatever you're having. In Belfast and Cork, she's a queer girl. A lash, got a glad eye, got a kick in her. She drinks Tipperary water. A wee lesbian code. She's the Church of England. She's ginger. She's got Dutch boy fingers. She's an M.O.T., a member the tribe. She's a gold star, got her ID card, and she shops at Tesco's. A sister of the inclination. She's elite in Scotland. A high zap, she's all right. That's 100 points. Is she a carpenter from Bristol? Is she a bus driver from Nottingham? Is she a motor dyke? Is she a badgy dyke? Does she live in the dykeria? Then she's a Fresbian in Fresno. In Lansing, 48912, she lives in Dyke Heights, sort of like 2040. Dyke Heart. She's an Arkansas Earth Dyke, Motor City Dyke. It goes to the pagoda with the Chinese, you bet. She collars outside the lines in Charlotte. Wheedle-deedle-ed lesbian code. Wheedle-deedle-ed lesbian code. Code. She's a lemon. She's a leso. Lesbian. She's a big one. She's a bowler. She wears sensible shoes. Lesbian. Code. D-L and D-R. Dyke to the left, dyke to the right. Lesbian. Code. He got so it from Israel. She's like that. A wee-lee-lee-lee-lee lesbian code. Here's the non-verbal. Non-verbal. A wee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-l